Sherry Termolin got her first exposure to South Korea at an early age.
In the 1970s, my aunt and uncle, they adopted a daughter from South Korea. And I remember the very first day that they brought her to my house. I was only 3 years old at the time. Ever since then, Korean people just kept popping up in my life, even though I lived in a very white area, a suburb of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so after I studied abroad in the Netherlands, which is my ancestral heritage, as an undergraduate, I decided to go to Korea to teach English because I was so interested in Korean culture. And once my feet touched Korean soil, I've been in love with Korea ever since.
This year, Western Kentucky University is celebrating the International Year of South Korea with events, dinners, parties, and guest speakers like Termolin, who's now an adjunct instructor at DePaul University in Chicago. She's also a doctoral candidate in the Department of Communications at Wayne State University in Detroit, where her dissertation topic is American fans of Korean pop culture.
It was like about 20-ish years before I ever met other non-Koreans like me that were into Korean pop culture. And at first, they were around my age. But now I'm finding more and more young people, like 18, 19-year-olds, even high school students, that are these 20-something-year-old, maybe fangirls of K-pop boy bands, and they're watching Korean television dramas. Yet, at the same time, one of the women that I've interviewed for my dissertation, which is about American fans of Korean pop culture, she self-identifies as a Black American heart Korean, as she says, but she's a grandmother. So it really spans the spectrum.
Do you think it's been an influence of the internet and the accessibility and availability of being able to see that just immediately, calling it up immediately?
Absolutely. And when I got my first K-pop CDs in 1995, I couldn't really have a lot more access to Korean music when I came back to the States. I was going to a Korean market to borrow Korean dramas on VHS tapes, but they didn't even bother to subtitle them at the time because they didn't expect for us to be interested in them. But then in 2005, YouTube launched, and that's when I started meeting people who had actually seen Korean pop culture online. YouTube changed the world.
And Termolin says the way YouTube changed the world, American service members changed Korean cultures in the 1950s by bringing American music and films to the country during the war. The first Korean TV station was built with American technology. But it wasn't until decades later that the big business of Korean pop culture blossomed.
In the 1990s, there was a big financial crash in East Asia, and Korea was looking for new ways to make money. And that's right when the American film Jurassic Park came out. And they took one look at that film and they're like, you can make that much money with just one film? It would take us hundreds, maybe even thousands of Hyundai automobiles to make that kind of money. Why don't we start investing in our culture industries? So they kind of copied the way that Hollywood does things. And they make things that will translate well abroad. And then they started sending it out throughout East Asia and then to the rest of the world.
Termolin says most of the Korean pop culture enjoyed by Americans is from the South, although some does come from the North.
North Korea has produced a K-pop band called Moranbang Band that looks very similar to a South Korean pop K-pop band, but sounds nothing like it. It's, I think, like 1950s propaganda music. It's that music, but in flashy miniskirt dresses and really pretty women. You've got to check it out.
That's fascinating. So a lot of the stuff you see coming out of the North is more geared around propaganda, is it?
Yeah, everything in North Korea is about propaganda. You can watch North Korean films and watch North Korean like music online. There's plenty of it on YouTube. But it's probably not going to resonate the same way that South Korean pop culture does.
She says regardless of whether you speak Korean or not, you can still enjoy Korean language music and movies.
Well, interestingly, they've tried to produce albums in English, and they don't go over very well. Even for American fans that don't speak fluent Korean, they would prefer to listen to the Korean. And in fact, the Korean language programs at universities across the nation are growing because of the Korean wave. I think for myself, I much prefer to watch something in Korean than have it dubbed. This great zombie movie came out last year called Train to Busan, and when I watched it in Korean with English subtitles, but they did release it with English dubbed, and I have absolutely zero desire to watch it.
On her visit to Bowling Green, Termolin applauded WKU's efforts to help the campus community experience a different culture each year.
You have to have a globalized perspective, so you have to come to appreciate and understand cultures. And even if it's just through K-pop, for instance, at least that will raise an awareness that people do things differently in another country. So maybe you won't deal with Korea in your job, but maybe you're going to deal with Cuba in your job, or maybe you're going to deal with Germany in your job. And it will just raise that awareness that you need to look into what the culture is like before you go there.